Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Gannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We've been having a great, great week of coming back on the air. We take our hiatus just like Leno and all those other guys do. We don't do anything in the summer. And we do other stuff, other ministry stuff, because audiences tend to listen after Labor Day. So we're back after Labor Day, and we're working it out here. We had Joan Hunter the other day, and we had it was an amazing time. I mean, that woman's just a woman of faith, a woman that knows how to do just the God's work. God sends her. She does it. She's very, very frank. And I tell you what, God is with her. But we have some other great guests here in the studio with us. We have Mr. Mike Snow, Pastor Mike Snow. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Thank you, David.
Yes, sir. And then, of course, he's my cousin, and Martha Snow, which that's how he's my cousin, because this is my cousin.
Hello, hello.
How you doing, Martha?
I'm doing good.
Martha just got back from Thailand.
And yes.
Eat enough noodles. Rice? Oh. What'd you eat?
Rice. I didn't eat very much, David. I probably lost about 10 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. Did you take any pills, any things with you out there?
I took some Clif Bars. I took some Kind Snacks, but I ate them all up. And
she needs to go to David Yannis School of Missionary Survival.
Yes, yes, it was my first overseas mission trip.
You won't know how many ministers have gone and don't know what to take, and they've gone several times, and they don't know what things they're supposed to go in, the currency and all that stuff. It's just missionary. It's just a different. We're so Americanized when we're here, and we can get anything, anytime, anywhere we want them. And you just got to, I tell everybody, pack like you're going to the moon. It's the best way to pack.
We tried to help her out with that. You know, Pepto tablets once a day. Bring some diaper wipes. Bring food. Bring nuts. Bring snacks. So she just didn't bring enough.
He said the forbidden word on the air. Diaper wipes, not play.
That's for washing your face and your hands when there's no shower.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
Okay. No, but that's good. That's good. Now you've been on several mission trips.
Yeah.
So you're accustomed to it. But you're like one guy that you can just go out there and you'll be fine.
Right. It's a little different when you're a princess.
Oh, well, then I must be a prince because I'm a little.
we're related.
Yes, we're very
much related. She's spoiled. So
yeah, but did you use the water from your water bottle to brush your teeth, or did you brush your teeth?
Okay,
from
I use a sink, and that might have been why I was sick.
I explained,
first rule.
I've explained that
Michael.
To them. I explained
you
that to
my
them.
My precious princess. Out.
No, they had all the rules. They just didn't follow my rules.
No, I didn't get that rule until it was too late.
Okay, we're gonna save that one for off the air. We got the room built back there. We got some gloves. We'll take care of that. Yeah. Let y'all fight it out.
I will say it was my fault.
Okay.
I must have not been clear enough.
Oh, but you know what? With so much stuff that's going on, you have to be like, oh, man. It's hard to get, you know, because you're going out to minister. Then you're going to make sure you take certain stuff to dress and everything. And then you got to think about your health as well. And so it's just something that we take for granted being here in the States. I mean, you can just know.
Right.
I mean, honestly, you know, when you go in a house, you're not going to use the water. But when you're in a different country, you just don't know.
And right.
Yeah, I think I used to take the Hoover, because it's a diarrhea pill. I take a whole bunch of those for my team, because I'm like, they like, give me the Hoover.
Oh.
I'm like, good Lord, how about I throw it to you from a distance? it's really the parasites that are out there.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Right. I learned the hard way my first trip to El Salvador, the worst stomach problems
I've ever had.
We're, you know, it was crazy because you're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yeah.
And people are getting healed like 20, 30 a night, and then you're suffering the whole next morning holding your stomach, crying, the Lord have mercy on your soul.
Yeah.
So I learned the hard way, and then, you know, we found some things. But
I had one of my ministers, too. He did the same thing. He was stuck inside the room. And I was like, man, you traveled all the way over here for a week to be in a toilet.
Right.
No, I would go for it. I said, look, I'm here to preach, here to pray for people. I would just, you know, you just kind of have to suck it up and go out there and when it's time to minister, you know. So
yeah.
Everyone's different, and they have different thresholds of pain.
Yeah, and then, you know, John Osteen had one time where he was in India, and it came to a point where he just couldn't even get up. And he said, look, I have faith enough that I'll put a chair in front of the microphone, and I can get to the chair with some assistance, and I'll preach from sitting down. And he started doing that, and he'd preach and preach. And then by the third night, he started to stand up. And then by the fourth night, he just kicked the chair over and was, praise God, preaching. So, you know, praise John's Lord. Fire. And but it, you just get to your point where you're at. And I had a similar story when I was in India. Maybe the first time I was there or the second time I was there, I was hurting bad. I mean, I was like, I was about to, I felt like I was going to throw up, but I was really just hurting. My whole body was hurting.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what? If I can get to the microphone, I know I'll be fine.
Right.
And I remember the story of John Osteen, and I start preaching from the microphone, and by the end of the service, the anointing fell on it, and I was fine the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's just different, but we have to battle with our mind as well,
right,
as being in those conditions, and because fear is around us all the time, and it is always trying to peek in there. The Bible says, be sober and vigilant for your enemy, the devil, roamed about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He sends fear and doubt into you to devour you every single day. He's trying to throw that in your life. And we just got to remember that he's not doing it. Tell us about some of the what'd you do in Thailand? What was out there?
I went kind of on a Nehemiah. It was like a vision tour. Okay. I wasn't quite sure what God wanted from me when I went there, but I didn't know.
That takes faith. That's
that,
good.
You know, I went out there to kind of just hear from the Lord. And so to see the need assessed, you know, what's going on over there, what we can do to really help. And so as I went over there, you know, we went to Bangkok, and then we went to Chiang Mai, we went to Chiang Rai. We did quite a bit of traveling around Thailand. And, I mean, I counted the hours. It was like 32 hours of traveling to me. It was crazy, the amount of traveling. And then in the middle of that, getting sick and all those things. But it was during those times of being sick and, you know, times I had to stay in the hotel where I was really able – feeling broken, you know, I wasn't able to eat or drink water for about over 24 hours. It was going on probably, you know, it was longer than that. And during those times, it was when God would begin to speak to me, because I'm like, Lord, why am I here? Lord, what do you want from me? I'm walking around seeing the Thai people. I'm falling in love with them. I feel like they're our cousins. You know, I felt like I was in Mexico, to be honest with you. I was like, hey, I think we're related, you know. But I had such a love that God was giving me for them. We were able to work with the public schools, and we went in. We were teaching English, and here are these little kids, you know, so cute, so beautiful. In my heart, you know, just like, Lord, what do you want from me? And we were able to work with a orphanage as well. We were able to make some good contacts with some churches. There's only 0.8% of people, of Thai people, who are Christians.
Yeah.
And that was shocking. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very shocking. And again, I'm sick. I'm laying in my bed. And I'm like, God, why am I here? This is my heart's going out, but I feel like so small, you know?
Yeah.
And the need's so big. And as I was sitting in this place of just feeling hopeless, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, kind of feeling like, you just brought me here and this is just torture because, you know, I mean, do you want us to do this or that? And I was there, it was like, Lord, what do you want from me? I felt his presence just in an amazing way. He came into the room and I felt his peace. And so I'm like, Lord, I'm available. We're willing. What do you want for me to do? Do you want me to sell my house? Do you want me to start an orphanage? Are you calling me to do youth center? Maybe you know, I went over there not knowing what God was going to ask of me, but just being like Isaiah, saying, Lord, whatever you want, here I am. I'll go. Mm. And to my surprise, you know, I really began to understand the calling that God was putting on Lighthouse Church. We had put International Outreach Ministries into our name when we started 13 years ago.
I remember that.
And some people laughed at us, you know, and some people said, you guys, why are you putting International Outreach Ministries? Well, it goes back to my calling when we were 18 years old, Pastor Mike's calling in college. We had always felt like God called us to be missionaries.
Amen.
And then when he called us 13 years ago to be pastors, you know, it was a wrestle. It was a struggle. We felt like, no, we don't want to be pastors. We want to be missionaries.
Why chain me down?
Yeah. And so we began to do missions work here in Houston. And through all the outreaches, we started the church. They needed a pastor. And so I'm here in Thailand, God saying, hey, you know, it's time for y'all to go international. it's these kids, because we have a youth center, all these children and teens that are coming in, a lot of them with calls to the ministry, a lot of them with a heart to give and to pour out. He says, you're going to raise them up and send them out to the nations. I'm not calling you, Francesca, to come and plant an orphanage. I'm not calling for you to come and plant a church necessarily in me, you know, to sell all I have and, you know, close the church down and move on over to Thailand. He's saying, I'm calling you to raise and train up the nations in Houston to go out into the nations of the world. Right now, we have about five nations represented in our services.
That's good.
And as they're coming to me, we have people from Africa, people saying, I want to go back to my homeland and start an orphanage. I want to go back to my homeland and start a church and to share what Jesus has been doing in my life here. And so that's what God said. As I was laying in the bed, I said, Lord, you know, there's orphanages here. They have so many needs. They need food. They need one of the pastors that we had met. She's 60 years old, and she has the max kids allowed in Thailand. She has two homes, and she's at a place where she's thinking about her legacy of who's going to take over the orphanages when she's gone. She's trying to build her orphanage to where it self-sustains. I mean, she's doing, what is it, Mike, aquaponics or
hydroponics.
She's
organic farming.
She's trying to work to open a coffee shop. I mean, she's doing amazing things with every inch of property to create funds that will keep sustaining the ministry of what she's doing there. And I'm like, Lord, what can we do to help?
Yeah,
I'm like, God, you know, again, what can we do to help? I mean, I'm coming from, you know, I live by faith. I'm an inner city missionary. You know,
absolutely, so
I'm saying, okay, God, you know, do you want me to sell my house? You know, that's the thing, I have a value. Do you want me to sell my house to give? And he says, and then Francesca, what about the next store that opens?
Yeah.
He says, after you do that, and then you know you're just going to find a new thing and a new area to give. And then he says, and then you'll be homeless and still in the same place. That's not what I'm calling for you to do. I'm calling for you to call for the kings and queens. And he spoke it so clear to me. And I said, call the kings and queens. He says, yes, you need to call for the kings and queens. And as he began to download the way that we're going to be able to not just help this orphanage, but help the other orphanages that he's going to continue to bring in our past, because that's my goal right now is just to say, Lord, send me. Where do they need help? Send me, and I'll be the bridge that will connect those who want to give, who want to go, who want to serve, and I'm able just to be a bridge to connect them, you know, from the states, all over the nations. And so that's kind of like what God had spoken to me in that place. And when I came back, I started calling for the kings and queens, and God began to say, Francesca, there are people anointed to make money.
Yep.
They're anointed to make money. And he's like, you need to embrace them. You know, as a church, so many times we look at people who are, you know, business owners, business leaders, and we kind of think they're less than, you know, oh, well, I'm really doing the work of God because, you know, I'm behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
And God says they are just as anointed in their business, in their job, in the marketplace. He's like, I want for you to call them. I want for you to empower them. I want for you to let them know that this is of me, and it's not just of their selfish pride, you know, but this is of me, and allow them to be the blessing that I've called them to be. Allow them to be empowered to go make money and not feel ashamed about it. And so when we called a luncheon, I held this luncheon. It was a marketplace ministers. I had about over 20 people show up. And,
really?
You know,
that's
good. I was like, okay, you know, I'm just doing these things feeling like, God, I don't understand. But I'm just going to be obedient. And then out of that, I gave the kings and queens call. You're basically, I'm calling people who are going to be willing to help give money and make money for these causes.
Not only to, not just to give money, but to go out into the marketplace and find money.
To use their influence.
Use their influence to talk to their bosses, to talk to business owners, to talk to community leaders. And it was really, really exciting to see the response of men and women who are, you know, our church is an inner city church. You know, we're inner city missionaries, and these are people who've come from the hood, you know, and gotten, became born again, gotten filled with the word, the spirit, and God's been blessing them and opening doors for them in business, and putting them places that they would never have been on their own. I mean, they have felonies, and we have people that have been in prison, and God's just began to pour out His favor upon them. They're starting their own businesses, they're being successful at business, and they're people who used to be on dope and crack,
yeah,
and just their past. So it's beautiful to see our church people and the business community rise up with Francesca's, calling them to say, hey, this is the opportunity that's available. Who feels the stirring to reach the nations? And for them to rise up from, from the hood, I mean, it's really a good punch in the face to the devil, to all these people that used to be his trophies are now trophies of the Lord.
Yeah.
And they're just not happy being saved. They're just not happy just making it into heaven or just having the blessed life. They want to make sure other people and other people who had stories like them, who lived in extreme poverty like them, who have come from nothing, to rise with the help of the Lord and the word and faith to go and make a difference in nations of the world. It was really powerful for me as a pastor to see the response of our people. With 13 years of ministering there in the inner city, you want to see fruit. You want to know, hey, have you guys not just caught my vision, but have you caught my heart? And so for me, it was just a blessing to see that they caught the vision of our ministry, but really, more importantly, the heart of the ministry.
Yeah.
And our heart has always been to find the poor, to find the children, to find the teenagers who are being neglected, who are being abused, find the senior citizens, knowing they are being overlooked, looking for people that that everyone's kind of overlooking and don't really welcome them in society or even in churches. And to see those same people have the same heart as us and ready to go and to give and to collect money and to find resources and to go themselves to the nations of the world, knowing that right now the turmoil of all the nations, I mean, the nations are raging right now. And they're saying, hey, in the midst of the rage of the nations and the nations collapsing and all these things, I'm willing to go and give my life. I'm willing to raise money. We're going to give our lives for the sake of the gospel for other people. So it just was really something new also in our home church. And it wasn't just because we're in Africa right now, and two other nations already. We're moving to Thailand, so we've been doing some international stuff, supporting some other works.
Good.
But the passion and drive that's coming not just from us at the top, but from the grassroots, from our people, saying, hey, what else can we do?
Yeah.
There's more that we can do. I'm willing to give. And so it was really beautiful, and I was so proud of Francesca because I forced her to go on this trip. I felt the call of God was on her life to go internationally this last year. Some things didn't work out in Kenya. There was just some stuff I didn't have peace about, and I said, you're not going. And then I was praying the Lord to open the door that this would be the launching pad for her to go to nations of the world to kind of spy out the Nehemiah tour, spy out the land, see the need, and to go and fund and to pray for the people doing the work and to help them to do the work. Because, as a minister, you know what it's like, David. Well, you have a big vision and calling, and you don't have no resources.
Oh, yeah, it's get crazy.
You're like, what am I going to do? I ain't got no one to help. Where's the help, God? Come on, send somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, we had that for years because you're like, oh, you're in America. You don't need no help. I'm like, no, we need help. We never really got that. And so we want to do for others what wasn't done for us.
Oh, absolutely.
And we want to do that around the nations of the world, like this sweet, precious lady who's given her life for these orphans. And so we know that this ministry that Francesca has birthed from the Lord is going to be something that's going to really shake the nations with the gospel.
It's going to take you to the next level. And we're going to hear more about it in just a minute. We're going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back.
Stress make you fat? A new study suggests that being overweight might not be all your fault after all. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy, but it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Think twice before blaming yourself or someone else for being overweight. A new study suggests a common childhood virus could be the culprit. Researchers found that children exposed to adenovirus 36, an infection that causes short-term gastrointestinal and respiratory symptoms, weighed an average of 52 pounds more than children who were never infected. Researchers believe this fat virus increases the body's fat cells and makes it harder for the body to break down mature fat cells later. The result is that people affected by the virus store more fat overall. So go easy on the next overweight person you see. Diet and exercise may not work as well for them as they do for you. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com.
Is your teenager easily bored? Do activities that used to bring him pleasure no longer delight him? Does your teen often appear to be lethargic or even depressed? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a tip from Shepherd's Hill Farm. There's a good chance your teen is experiencing a condition known as anhedonia. Anhedonia is not ADD, ADHD, or depression, although the symptoms are very often mistaken as such. Anhedonia is a destruction of the pleasure center in the brain, which often comes as a result of today's unbridled multitasking on any number of electronic gadgets and other entertainment vehicles. Unfortunately, medication, instead of moderation, is being given to our kids as a quick fix for the symptoms. The good news is that the pleasure center can rebuild itself, but you as a parent are going to have to be proactive.
Learn more about this topic at shfteens.org. Shepherd's Hill Farm is here to serve hurting families with teens in crisis. If you have a teenager with behavioral issues, we can help. Contact us at shfteens.org.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
A second look at sports often takes a look into the hook and bullet sports world and the humor that goes with them. A Sunday school teacher asked Johnny, "Do you believe Noah did a lot of fishing when he was on the ark?" "No way, Jose," he said. "You only had two worms." You know, fishing men are much alike. They both get in trouble when they open their mouth. Yet it was the Lord who said to all of us, "Be ye fishers of men, because everyone is going to have to live someplace forever." And remember, many of Christ's disciples were fishermen. Something to think about, okay, as we go about this day. Now, for more fish stories, go to asecondlookatsports.org. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the year, for a 60-second look at sports.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
Understanding the times we...
Welcome back to the show. This is your host again, David Yenitz, and we're back on the mics now with Mike. We're back on the mic with Mike.
All right.
Hey, that is be a great radio show for you. Back on the mic with Mike. Are we prophesying?
Hey, that would be fun.
Hey, you know, this station is open for you anytime, my brother, to get things rolling for you. But tell us about some of the things now that's going to happen. Is vision changing for you now? Is it just adapting to it? Or what are things you're going to be doing now? What's the next thing, the next step, next thing you want to outreach or however?
Well, my focus right now is on the Kings and Queens.
Okay.
And I've called the meeting out of the Marketplace Ministry, you know, to just bless those who feel like they want to go to work on purpose and with purpose, knowing they have a purpose. And out of that, I gave the call for the Kings and Queens. And, you know, I'm giving this out like, "Hey, guys, who wants to help me make money and raise money? And who wants to give money?" Well, you know, I had a response. And I had my first meeting, and I had about 10 people, I think, to 12 people who came out and said, "Let's do this." And I said the main reason for the Kings and Queens is three things. It's for accountability.
Amen.
One, not that I have a problem with giving money. I have a problem with giving too much sometimes. You know, I'm like, I'll give the shirt off my back.
Yeah,
and then
you're at that tax bracket where you're not even getting any more deductions for what you're giving, because income is being outweighed by your giving.
So I need some people to come alongside me and say, "Francesca, no, you cannot give. You know, we have to come into agreement on the so we have a couple of things that we're working towards right now.
Good.
And they're going to agree that we could come together and say, this is what we're going to believe God to do.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
And then the second one is for wise counsel. I believe people are called and anointed kings and queens. They got a wisdom when it comes to money. that I think that we as a church and priest and we could learn from each other. And so we are going to actually in our next meeting coming up Tuesday, we're going to strategize together on how we could actually reach these goals that we actually set in our first meeting. And the last one is to use their influence. We want to use – they have influence. They look, marketplace ministers, they have more influence than the church. And that's statistics. I mean, that's the honest truth. And sometimes when we're telling people about what we want to do in other nations and they find out we're a pastor, they instantly turn us off.
Yeah.
But if there is another person who's a business owner, business leader,
yep,
coming to other business owners and business leaders,
that's
they
say.
Have more influence.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And so that's what our focus. And this is just a strategy that God's given us.
That's a good
and
strategy.
And so, you know, how things are changing at the church is you know, we're releasing, just more people are having to rise up, you know, and take their place and releasing people into their calling and destiny. At the same time, I feel my focus has changed, not just in the local church, but I'm kind of shifted outward. You know, I feel like my grace for a lot of things is left, and if I'm not, you know, it's gone, and if I'm not pursuing.
Well, there's a season for everything. And you have an awesome husband. I love him. My whole family loves him so much as well. And I tell you that he's able to bear, and he's able to take on that extra. Because someone has to build this.
Mm-hmm.
And God's put the anointing and gifting in you to do this. And it's for this season that you start building that. And then eventually you're going to have people fill in and take over things either on his side that he can free up and help you more, or on your side, free you up a little and you can do other things as well.
It's exactly what's happening. I used to take over the leadership. I used to run the Bible college. And now in this season, God is, you know, Pastor Mike, he's taken over. I mean, when I left for that time, it was everybody's time to, I pretty much was the manager of the church, and now I can no longer do that. But God has raised up other people to get it done. And this year we're going to have another teacher come in and start working with the School of Prophets students.
Okay. All right.
And,
good.
And you know, and like I said, if I feel empty, and if I don't pursue this international calling, there is, like I say, like just a void in my life where I wake up in the morning, and although I'm extremely blessed and God has blessed me and I have an awesome family and a church, there is an emptiness.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And this has been going on for over a year, and I did not understand what was happening.
It creates
to me.
Restlessness.
Do you understand that?
Oh, I understand. Yes.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah,
cause
I understand.
I'm wondering, you know, I was thinking.
My wife's smart. She just leaves me alone. She leaves me alone. Let me go crazy in my own room.
Yeah.
Let me go crazy. But I have so many things that I'm doing that keeps my mind occupied. But when those things are complete, I'm restless. And I'm like, God, am I supposed to be on a mission trip? Am I supposed to be doing this? But I've learned over time how to just let God open that door.
Right.
And then when you go out there, it's powerful.
Right.
It's strong. And just like what happened with you in Thailand.
Yeah.
It was God that opened that door, and Spirit using your husband and letting you know that this is what you got to do. And sometimes we got to be pushed on a trip.
Right.
You know, and you don't know why you're there. I went to Kenya, and the first time going to Kenya, I went with Pastor David from downstairs, and I didn't preach. I didn't hold one healing service, and I just don't get this. I mean, y'all see all these banners around us here in the studio. These are all places I had these little healing services and stuff, small groups. It doesn't matter, but I was doing something. It doesn't matter how many people show up. At least you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard to sit there and not do anything. And Lakewood Church's youth ministry was there, and so they had a lot of people there as well. And the whole time, God is just speaking to me, but I don't know He's speaking to me. You know, I'm not hearing Him because I'm distracted with what I'm not doing instead of knowing that I'm resting. And then the Lord just spoke loudly. I'm trying to give you something. Shut up and listen. And I sat back and I just listened. And He was giving me a ministry in Kenya to start working with a minister that's already seasoned, you know, in the 60s and has huge outreaches, can have huge outreaches, but has huge connections everywhere. And then after my second trip there, when Pastor David couldn't go on a trip, but I went and was a guest. That was the main speaker, and that one right there, and that banner over here behind me. And then I was the main speaker there, and then me and that minister, you know, I let God introduce the subject. I don't try and say, hey, let me come back and preach, or let me come to your church. I let God introduce that for me, because I don't need to. I have this platform here if I want to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And And he goes, David, how about we start working in Kenya together? And he just, we're driving the car to the event. I mean, that'll work for me. He goes, would you mind if, of course, you take care of your expenses to get here. Once you land in where we're at, he goes, I'm taking care of your expenses and food and everything and lodging. And we just work together and we do outreaches and do some soul winning.
Right.
And that's exactly what I wanted to do on my first trip.
Right.
But God had to get the man ready for me,
right,
and get that ministry ready to accept me, because they're, you know, they had, they're just as much as we're skeptical when we get those phone calls and come over here to Africa,
right,
we have great things for you, you're gonna be able to preach to 10 million people, and yeah, you know, and then when you get off the plane, we need $50,000, you know,
right,
so it's like,
right,
it just as skeptical as we are of them, they're skeptical of us because they've had people come in to exploit them and take pictures and say, this
right
is what we're doing in Africa. And they just visited. They didn't even preach. And yeah, so there's different things you have to watch out for.
That's why, you know, I've given my life in this time to say, you know what, I'm not giving you money unless I go and see for myself.
Oh, absolutely.
And even in Thailand, I'm like, you know, I'm going to go see for myself. And I want to make sure that when people give to the ministry of Kings and Queens of what we're doing, which is reaching, providing for fatherless, that their money is actually going to go to do that.
Yeah.
And honestly, with my short time of just wanting, you know, getting into missions, you know, in this last year, I've seen more corruption than I've seen good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's a sad thing. But
Mike knew that a long time ago, right, Mike? Yeah,
I've seen
sad
more corruption than I've seen, you know, people, they're trying to get rich off of an orphan.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, again, that's why I feel like I must go. And I'm like, I'm not going to send you no money. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not. I have people inboxing me all the time. Let me see your orphanage. I
you
don't want to see your
I call
pictures.
Them,
I'm going.
Me and my friend from Scotland, we call them professional beggars.
Yes.
Because that's what they are. They'll just send out and say, oh, we want to work with you and this
yeah
and that. And unfortunately, a lot of people buy into it that are so eager to get out there, but not waiting for God to send them. They're so eager to get out there and they're waiting for that door. And then all of a sudden they get an invitation. Oh, this must be God. I have a good friend. I
right
won't mention his name. Went all the way to India and work with these guys. And then, you know, it wasn't the first trip, wasn't the second trip, but the third trip, they start asking for lots of money to
right
come out and stuff. And
wow,
he just had to get out of that relationship. He was actually in a car wreck and everything as well out there. I mean, when God sends you, you're going to be okay. You know, he had the most miserable time out there. And the thing is, just because someone tells you online, I like how you're preaching, flattery. What does the Bible
right
say about flattery? Flattery leads to deceit and destruction.
Right.
Anytime someone starts flattering you right away, that's not the Lord. And most of the time, it's just someone trying to get something from you, and they know how to just puff you up. And when you get puffed up, you let your guards down.
Dangerous.
You very much let your guards down. And that's what, unfortunately, it's in the Word of God. It tells us about it. I don't know the scripture directly. It's in Proverbs, but it does, the flattery of tongues, you know.
Right. That's why it's very important, like I said, to go out and do these vision tours.
Yeah, it's good.
And knowing, you know, we have connections, solid connections, pretty much all over the nation. Pastor Mike was a missions major in college, and so he has friends all over the world, and you know, he's like, we can make a phone call and you can be somewhere
anywhere,
like tomorrow,
anytime.
But I'm like,
it's
but
God's
I'm looking
timing.
I'm looking for a specific, I mean, my heart really is to help, I would say, children, fatherless children, orphans, and the ones who are really suffering, hurting right now. I pray and I say, God, show me where they are.
Oh, yeah.
Show
Absolutely.
Me where they are, because this is only something you can, again, reveal to me, and not just somebody I want to give money to, and who knows what a small percentage actually goes to the orphan. No, God, we want to use our resources to bring just life-changing relief, you know, and I know there's still places like that, and God opened the right doors.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I really think that you know, having Mike with you and just able to see those things and stuff. So, Mike, what's else going on in the church?
Oh, man, God's just really been blessing us. You know, we were, because we feel like we were called as home missionaries to the urban areas of Houston, that we usually reach out for children and teenagers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look for what the society would say the worst of the worst. That's always been our heartbeat and our passion, is to reach the lost and find the ones who don't have an opportunity to hear the gospel.
Absolutely.
But this last year, man, God is doing some great things. We have doubled in number, which, you know, I think it's important that your ministry should always be growing.
Yep.
And we moved twice in 1 year, which is a negative.
I'm about to say, yeah. So, okay, so where are you at now? And right. Tell us how you got that place. Because you're always getting these awesome deals on places. I got to at least hug them real tight to get that anointing on me.
Man, we needed to move. The Lord said, hey, the inner city's changing. You need to move north. So we moved 10 miles from our location where we were.
That's hard to because a lot of people you're a minister didn't have vehicles.
Right,
and
correct.
Were doing a lot of pickup and stuff.
It was real rough, but we got in that new location and we filled it up. And while we were there, after about probably 6 months, the people that gave us that connection said, look, y'all are outgrowing our facility. We have another one that's 5 miles back south in between, right in the middle of the neighborhood. And said, look, you know, here's the price. Here's the facility. Come see it. You want it.
Where's that? Where's this?
Well, it's Airline, right off of Airline and Rittenhouse.
Oh, I know exactly the place.
Yeah.
So right in the middle of the north side. So we went, and you know, it's been challenging, but God's just began to open the doors. We're a multi-ethnic church now. We've always been a predominantly Hispanic church, and one token white guy, the pastor. and so, you know, I was, you know, mostly it was me, one white guy, and everybody else was Hispanic. And then this last year when we moved, because my heart has been that I think that the church should look like heaven. Mm-hmm. Where all colors come together under the blood of Jesus. And so, in ages. So right now we're a multi-generational church.
Good.
We're a multi-ethnic church. And so God did that. We started our Spanish translations. People wear headphones and they hear the sermon in Spanish when they translate it. We've been able to start feeding. We give free groceries every Sunday after church to senior citizens.
That's good.
We've adopted 4 senior citizen homes that we do arts and crafts in once a month. And so God has just been really taking us off.
Actually, have a health fair too coming up.
Give them your church website, your address, give them that stuff.
It's lighthousehouston.net. That's lighthousehouston.net. It's our website, and we meet at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. At 215 Rittenhouse. That's 215 Rittenhouse, Houston, Texas, 77079. And you know, we have service on Wednesday for leadership. You know, we do a after-school program. We do a teenager. You know, on Friday nights, we open up the facility and bus in teens and kids with our free programs that we offer, everything from, you know, free basketball. We feed them every week. You know, we have art class, skateboard park. We do different classes from taekwondo to MMA.
Oh, cool.
We just as people volunteer, we'll put them to work for about 6 weeks. So it's been really
amazing. You've always done a great job. I mean, you've always done a great job wherever you're at, even when you're in the small house. Remember when you started?
Yes.
I'm an original founding member. I did their paperwork as well. So
yes,
I remember that international. I was like, International Outreach Ministries. I'm like, y'all sure about that?
Were you the ones making fun of us?
No, I was not the one. I'm the one filling it out. I'm like, are we sure we're writing this very long word?
And I just went with it.
You know, that was funny. We didn't live too far away from each other. So y'all have always done a great job. Right. So how big is this new facility?
The new facility, the sanctuary, holds about 500 to 600.
Oh, wow, just like the one out there then. That's pretty big.
And then we have – it sets on 7 acres.
Yes,
7 acres.
So it has a huge soccer field.
So you're able to use all that?
Court.
That's yours?
Yeah. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. The church that has just
–
Showers in it.
Are you serious?
We are
blessed to be in partnership with a church that
we are working with. We partnership with an older ministry, and you know they've just been such a blessing to
us. Do they use the facility any?
They have their church service early on Sunday morning.
Okay.
In their chapel.
Okay.
And then we took over what they would call their the gym and educational building they had.
Okay.
So we took over the basketball court. And set up our stage, our platform, you know, all that stuff.
Because I was looking at pictures the other day, and I seen, well, this is different than this picture of the stage. Of like, I thought they just moved.
So that explains it.
Right, and we just revamped the children's ministry, too. We really have a heart for kids, so we really just
Well, you have a lot of good workers, too. My cousins.
Yeah.
You have a lot of good workers.
We upgraded the children's ministry. We upgraded the nursery. So preparing for the new growth, we're expecting, the way God has been blessing us, to double again before December.
Really?
So we doubled about probably we doubled about right around Easter. Mm-hmm. Not on Easter service, but we kept retained, you know, doubling our numbers. And then right now, we're almost at the point of doubling again from that same number.
That is awesome.
So, and we have people coming in.
So you have to have two services or what?
We still have enough.
Let's face it.
We're going to have to buy some new chairs.
We have to get new chairs. Yeah. We need about 500 chairs. We only have 250-ish.
We have about 300.
300?
Yeah.
300, I don't know. 300 chairs. Somebody else counts them. You know, and so God's just been really doing great things. And I really believe it's because we stayed faithful to the calling.
Oh, I was about to say that.
We can't be bought. We're not, there's just some key things about us that we won't budge. We won't budge on having dirty people come to church.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, hey, let them come. Let sinners come into this hospital. You know, our vision statement is basically bringing hope to hurting people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, we want to bring hope to them until they're healthy. And so bringing hope and healing to hurting people. And so when you open up that window for people to come and get touched by the power of God, we're having people healed. We're having people getting employment, having had works. I mean, it's
being
just been
deliverances
has been happening. And we've having people coming in
alcohol.
Who are, you know, strippers and prostitutes, and they're getting saved.
The
they're getting married.
Is moving strongly.
I mean, God is just doing so. I mean, we have so many testimonies of that are just so unreal. When we tell people the test, they don't believe us because God is doing such amazing things in healing.
Well, y'all been
and
faithful.
Delivering
y'all
people.
Been faithful. And there's a spirit now that is the spirit of God is moving strong now. And anywhere that opens up their altars and truly have a pure heart, God's spirit is moving. Mm-hmm. He wants to erupt in a service. He wants to be the focal. He wants to be the access point for everyone. What you preach, he wants to do at the altars. And that's what's so important. When Reinhardt was on the show, he said that we don't open up our altars anymore.
Right.
We don't. The American church is full of teachers. There are no preachers, and they don't open up the altars. He said it on the air with me. And it's true. We have, I mean, think about it. Look at all the major places. All the major ministries are now teachers. It's
correct.
Just teachers. And God said there's evangelists and preachers, and power of God has to move through the preacher.
Right. And we've seen that. You know, I tell our people there's three parts of every service, and we instruct them like all the time. We said, number one, there's the worship. That's where you give God praise and you worship him and you spend time in his presence and you give your offering and tithe. That's all part of the worship. I said there's the preaching and teaching of the word, which builds you up. And then, you know, you're building your faith. And then the third most important part, it's just equal, is the altered call. Hmm. And I said that's when you're altered and changed to conform your life under the anointing of the word you heard.
Amen.
And so we shut every, and we give out food right after church. We say, hey, no, we're not giving out food. No one's getting up walking around.
Yeah.
We are having the altar time. It's not, okay, preaching's over, I'm going to take off a run. And so we're always training our people, hey, stretch your hands, pray, agree, don't leave, be respectful, you know. So it's been great.
Amen. Well, give your websites one more time. We're at the end of the show. So give your website one more time.
Sure. It's lighthousehouston.net.
And tell them how, Martha, tell them how they can get in touch with you about the kings and queens.
Just through the church website will
okay.
be fine.
Okay.
There's an email you can reach her with. It's pastor@lighthousehouston.net, and that will go to my email, and we can get back with them more details about joining the Kings and Queens and
absolutely.
Reaching the orphans
absolutely.
Around the world.
You know, we got to think of having a radio event for that.
Yeah.
And bringing businessmen in and talking to them and encouraging them to
right.
be able to get a contact with you, something like an event or something. And we can
definitely
figure it out.
To do that.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Midwatch with Rev. I want to thank my guests, Mike and Martha Snow, for being on here. Remember, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And I tell you what, it is a blessed start to our new season. And we may not be here every Thursday, but we're here every Tuesday. So if you're around, just tune in and you'll hear us. God bless you. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. All right. Remember, next week, we have some great shows. Come back.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, Cards host.